Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fam, J.D. Bunkus, Blake Murphy, J.D. Bunkus, and Blake Murphy.
Okay.
And myself.
Now it's bullying. I'm just saying. It's a fine line.
It's the J.D. Bunkus Show. Welcome. Good morning. And we're going to be joined now by Nick Kyprios, former NHL forward and co-host of Real Kipper and Born. How are you doing this morning, Kipper?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Leaf fans ready to donate $13 to the Ducks Foundation, or wasn't that big of a win last night?
No, I don't think so. It was a good win, though. They squeaked it out there in a shootout, but I think our biggest takeaway is those lines. They looked good. They looked real good.
I watched the Leafs, and I get what Sheldon's trying to do, and that's just kind of keep things a little fresh and perhaps down the road it might even be a useful tool to move a few guys up and down the lineup or mix and match, especially in the playoffs. So I get all of that, but I can't get overly excited about the line changes. I'd be more excited if Nick Ritchie could come in and hit everything that moves every other game. That would be more significant than the line changes that we see. At the end of the day, they're a highly skilled team, and probably more skilled than 80% of the league. But it's that 20% when skill kind of matches you a little bit, and then you're asked what's left that the Leafs can throw at you. And outside of that constant skill, for me, even last night, they don't have a secondary look outside of outskilling you. So it is what it is until we can see what Kyle could add to this hockey club at the trade deadline.
Were you surprised that the new second line, that Tavares, Marner, Mikheyev line, was used so... Like, obviously, those are guys that you can trust at the defensive end, but they were basically an offensive zone-only deployment last night, and that's a little unusual for Tavares lines, and it's certainly unusual for a guy like Mikheyev. What do you think the thinking is behind that for Keefe? Is he trying to find a second, like, was he just trying to get that line going offensively and see what can happen there, or is there something he didn't like defensively from that group maybe?
Well, Tavares and Marner, they're offensive guys, they're point getters, they're high octane to put the puck in the net, so you're going to give them every opportunity, and Marner is, since he's come back, arguably their best player and can get it done 200 feet. So he's putting them in a position to score. Tavares, again, a real threat out there offensively, is net presence behind the net now. He's got that ability to create offense, and ultimately I think it's going to help Matthews alleviate a little bit of that feel that every time he's on the ice, he needs two or three shots on goal. So I think it's a good mix back-to-back for the Leafs in that look. But ultimately, we do know that there's $40 million amongst four players, and they're going to have to find ways to produce. And I think after two periods, the one that had the most significant plus in ice time was Nylander, and he technically got bumped to the third line. So it played out exactly the way Sheldon Keefe thought it was going to play out. That he, when he got his offensive draws, he was able to at times load up a little bit, have different looks, but maintain a 5-on-5 presence on what his lineup sheet looked like before the game.
You mentioned earlier that you'd prefer, you know, hey, to get something out of a Nick Ritchie type rather than, like, that would mean more to you than the juggling of these top three. In terms of the fourth line, that was Engvall, Spezza, Simmons last night. I thought Engvall was the one guy who looked the least comfortable with the new dynamics last night. But I guess if Ritchie is going to draw in at some point, whose expense does that come at? Are you getting Spezza and Simmons the odd night off when the schedule condenses here, or are you dropping one of these? You know, I don't know that Engvall is going to see many nights in the press box, but he was the only guy I thought that looked uncomfortable last night.
Well, he scored a goal.
Yes. To Ilyich's point, the start of the game didn't help him at all. But, yeah, I do believe that's true. Blake, when it comes to who could possibly move out, it's not going to be Mikheyev. It's not going to be Bunting. Kasha's, we know when he's healthy, he's a strong contributor. Simmons will always have that element that Engvall doesn't have. So there's no question that the one that could come out is Engvall in all of this. And that's where you really got to, in a perfect world, again, look at your lineup and say, what's the one thing that's kind of missing here? And that's where the disappointment of Nick Ritchie not being able to do what he was supposed to do to come into the season. Can you unload that 2.5 and bring someone in to help the left side? I don't think that they're overly comfortable with Engvall, Kerfoot, Mikheyev, and Bunting. It's just, there's just not enough of a physical element for me. It's not horrible, but if you're going to nitpick this lineup, that's one of the issues I think Kyle Dubas has. But we'll see where it plays out. Again, Liljegren gets lost in the lineup now that he left the game. He should be okay, I think, for the weekend, but who knows with those head injuries and how precautious you want to be. But that's the concern, is the blue line. That is the priority. If you're going to not nitpick, then just focus on getting some help, some added depth on that blue line.
Kipper, I just had to Google whether Stefanos Tsitsipas played last night. So yes, exactly. You say it. You say it the right way. Whether he got smoked last night, because I was like, Kipper, sour this morning. Like just harsh grader of the squad. Leafs come out and they just lay the wood to Anaheim. They give it like a weird one where the goalie plays amazing. It's like, hey, not tough, this, that. Like, they played great. They were awesome last night. Like, that was one of their more complete games. Like, they had no fans in the seats and they still played with energy. You didn't like anything about the new lines? Like, the way that they kind of shook them out? You saw Keith be creative. He's throwing Nylander up. He's throwing him down. He's starting him in the D zone. It's just like they played kind of a complete game. No, you don't see that too much from them.
No, they were the better team. They dominated 5-on-5. Their puck possession was terrific. All of it's great. Mm-hmm. It's just against a weaker Anaheim team who has one of the top three goalies in the league right now. And that, again, it's a regular season dominated win by a team that should outskill that team. I'm okay with that, but that's not a playoff look for me last night. I'm sorry, but it's the same issues. We'll creep up on them. The lack of depth, and you know the issues again. I think early in the game, Zegras comes in, cuts in on Sandin. Sandin misreads his gap, totally misreads pressing up on the blue line, and gets free ride right in the middle of the ice. Sandin's a good player, but when you're in the playoffs and you end up leaving yourself that vulnerable to get to the net, it's the same issues for me. It's a good regular season win. I'm not overly excited about it because it's not the look that they're going to have to kind of tweak to go into the playoffs and try to win some rounds here.
Okay, so one of the things that we discussed about maybe not a positive from last night was Jack Campbell's a bit of a regression as of late. Talking about his contract and how it wasn't signed earlier in the season and now might get punted, hopefully, to the end of the year. What's your concern level with just the last couple games and his shouldering of a lot of load in terms of just playing a lot of minutes, but also with the weaker decor that the Leafs have?
Well, it's obvious Jack's level isn't where it was in the first 35, 37 games. And now that you've come to this point in his contract, it's almost like a little bit of a game of chicken here. It's, okay, how high can I go? and how good can I feel on my ask? And now if it's kind of just pulled back a little bit, does that now force Jack to and his agent to kind of rethink? And, oh, did we think we could get to 5.5 a year on an AAV, 5.75? Has this now pulled back kind of brought us back to reality to say, you know, maybe 5 times 5 would be a good contract? So I think that's where we're at right now. I think Jack and his agent could maybe revisit where they think that they were or where they were at, or where, you know, the Leafs think that they were or where they're at. But he's going to get paid, and it's going to be in that ballpark of north of 5. The only question is if it rides out and he can get them to a conference final, does 5 turn into 6? Does 6 turn into 6.25 with a conference final? If it's a scenario where he loses in the first round and you're staring at a couple of leaky goals, then I don't know where you go if you're the Leafs. Whether you go, oh, we still got a good goalie and we'll sign him for 5.25 a year times 4 or times 5. He likes it. We like him. Then, but that's the area that we're at right now, where I think everybody seems to be a little comfortable right now, including the Leafs. Like the Leafs, obviously they've got a cap issue that's kept them from really being aggressive on this negotiation. But they're now going into a territory where the pressure is just going to continue to mount here for not just Jack, but for everybody, and including Kyle. Kyle's looking for a new contract, too. He wants an extension. He wants to be here for many more years. They've all got a ton of pressure on them to perform here so they can hold their spot within the organization. So it'll be interesting. Everything amplifies from here on in terms of the pressure on the Leafs here to get out of the first round.
That's kind of interesting, though, about Campbell, though, that you know, your read on this is, because you were the first one to report on Campbell. You were the first one that I saw, anyways, that had mentioned what it could look like, whether or not they brought him an offer, that it didn't work out, and yeah, that it was Jack Campbell that had decided, hey, you know what, that's the no for me. And if you're talking about the game of chicken, I do wonder if he keeps playing this way where, hey, the standard of play, like we talk about Jack Campbell's career, Kipper, it's not exactly like he's had year over year over year of excellence, right? Like he put together, like Ailish mentioned it today, he just got his 20th win. It's his record. And I do wonder if you think that there could be some wiggle room where something actually does have happen during a regular season. Like, would the Leafs go back with that contract, do you think? Do you think that they would kind of bring something back to him that was at the time felt more like a low ball, but if this kind of play continues, ends up being that way? Or do you think this is now a non-starter, this only happens in the offseason now?
Low ball is out of the equation. And I guess that 4.25 was the low ball. Because you've got Mrazek at another 2 years at his number that just falls under $4 million. So yeah. I think they were comfortable with $8.5 million for their goalies for the next couple of years. But they're not comfortable at $10 or $11 million for goalies in the next few years. So it won't get back down to that. I think Jack, even if he falters, still could go to the open market and get close to $5 million over 5 on the free agent side. Still not a ton of teams that need goalies, but Edmonton, Colorado, I don't know where, he's from Michigan. Some say Detroit would welcome him in. We'll see on that as well if it gets to that. But he's there. He's there amongst the $5 million range. It's just how long do you want it to go? And does he take the Leafs to the promised land? Or is this going to be one of those scenarios where people are going to turn around and say, see, when the games got tough, he couldn't get the job done. So that's the beauty of negotiations during the season. behind the scenes, there's that constant battle in terms of who can one-up somebody. And that's where the Leafs are with Jack Campbell.
So if we're talking about contracts and trades and approaching the trade deadline, yesterday Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher came out saying that Claude Giroux's future with the team is ultimately his decision. And he's a leader, he's a veteran, he can be an impact player. But if he decides that he wants out and they can figure out his cost, no trade clause, et cetera, how much the Flyers would retain, is that something that you'd actively pursue if you're Toronto? I know there's a couple connections that people were drawing online on Twitter, but knowing that their decor is the main problem, do you still go after someone like a Giroux?
Well, it's funny because we just talked about that left side and how you would kind of like to see it tweaked a little bit. Could Giroux come in and be a guy that could play on the off wing? Yeah, absolutely. That's the beauty of Claude Giroux. He could play center. He could play both sides. And, you know, he competes. He's not a big guy per se, but he plays that in-your-face, gritty kind of style in the playoffs. We've seen him battle over the years with some top players like Sid Crosby. But that one's going to be really tricky. That would be a deadline deal where you got to bring his salary as low as you can. You're going to have the Flyers take Nick Ritchie's 2.5, or they're going to have to eat some money off the Leafs for it to work. But yeah, you start sliding in Giroux on that left side, on the Leafs' left side, it gives them a much different look going into the playoffs. But probably think it's more realistic that a team like Colorado, or he'd target Colorado. That seems to be the odds-on favorite, but he's not staying. We heard Chuck Fletcher saying he could stay if he wants to, but we know his inside voice is saying, please go, please go, please go. He needs assets in the worst way, and Claude Giroux can bring him something back.
We don't want to say let's go to you, Kipper, but we got to let you go. Thanks so much for making the time this morning, man.
All right. You guys have a great day. Thanks.
See you, buddy.
Nick Kiprios, former NHL forward co-host, Bill Kipper and Bourne, which you can check out every day and on the podcast. Check us out on the podcast. So what do you guys think? One thing we didn't get to touch on in the opening block, and I was curious of both your takes on it, JD and Ailish, is the Leafs basically played that whole game with five defensemen because Lilligren went down hurt. What did you see out of the response there? Did anyone stepping into a larger role or a different role pop to you, Ailish?
Not really. No. Like I don't think it impacted how I viewed the game. I thought that if Jack Campbell were to step up a bit in that role, that would be a positive because that's kind of when your goalie needs to stand on their head. Look at the other side of the ice with Gibson, like playing incredibly with his team. So I think that was maybe an opportunity. And we did talk about how it was kind of just a mediocre performance. But in terms of the D, like I was mostly like really impressed with what the forwards were doing, that new lineup, everything. But I think TJ Brody did have a really good game. He's been very steady. He's quiet. Like, we don't really talk about him much on the show because he just does his thing and he's not flashy. And we've joked about how we don't even know what his voice sounds like. But he was relied on heavily and on the PK as well. And I think just the fact that he's been solid, even when there's someone out of the lineup, I do feel like I have a lot of trust in TJ Brody. And he had another great game last night.
Sandin also stepped into, 23 minutes last night. And that's kind of what we've been asking for, right? And it was a mix of stuff. It was, you know, he only played a little bit on the penalty kill. He didn't see power play time. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing crazy. But 23 minutes of largely 5-on-5 time, and he wasn't on the ice for any of those goals against. I think you could be a little bit encouraged by how he took on. I mean, even if it wasn't spectacular, even if it was just okay, had you come into this one and said, look, you're going to get 20 minutes at 5-on-5 of Sandin, and we can't shelter him as much because we're down a defenseman and he's got to get these defensive zone faceoffs, and he's still, you know, he was one of the guys, well, everyone except the fourth line really had positive shot share. But I thought he was capable. And Brody's such a great example because it's like, oh yeah, you didn't really notice him all that much. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're playing 25 on 5 minutes, playing up in a pairing. I don't know. I came away encouraged for with that.
I love hockey because you can have two completely different views.
You didn't
of
like
the game.
Him?
The Leafs played their fourth line for, what, 6 minutes in that game? They basically, mm-hmm. Didn't play them. They played three lines that dominated the entire game, and they were, for the vast majority of the night, in the other team's zone. Mm-hmm. What I don't like about evaluating Sandin on a night-in, night-out basis, and it's the same thing when it comes to Liljegren, is like, the things that concern you about those guys are not changing this year. Like, Sandin is a disaster in his own zone. Like, a disaster. He's arguably worse than Liljegren, who is also in his own zone, a disaster. And one of the things that sort of happened over, you know, what we've learned more about hockey and as we've gotten smarter as fans and as we've started to use analytics is I actually think that we have put way too much stock into, like, the ability to get out of a zone because it's obvious that it's an important thing, right? But you also have to be able to get the puck. Like, you know, it's one thing. Like, you have to be able to go get it so that you can get it out of your zone. You have to be able to stop the team to get it out of your zone. And Sandin and Liljegren are completely overwhelmed and overmatched in those spots. So, yeah, last night is a game where Sandin popped to me. Blake, I agree. Like, he is someone where I say he had a nice game. He had that one shot that went off the bar and, like, stepped into it, looked quality, snapped it around, good minutes, had to step into a good role. So, overall, positive. I don't really love the up and down nature sometimes of the discussion around those guys when it's an offensive game that the Leafs have and they're measured on that success. But, like, that's not the concern. The concern with those two is that what you need from your third pair? And this is one where I do think that, you know, Kipper was, like, pretty, like, you know, he's talking about the team in the playoffs and I'm like, man, that's a tough night to be doing that when the Leafs looked so good and that the formula for them, I think that could extend to the playoffs. Like, that's one to me where you go, that for the way the forwards played in that game, you get that in the playoffs, and it doesn't matter who you're going to get. But the reason why I think that is because Sandin and Liljegren in their own end, Dermott in their own end, Hall, like, there's just so many dudes that you do not trust defensively. So, yeah, it's hard for me to evaluate, like, long story short there is, it's hard for me to evaluate those guys on nights where they're not being asked to do the thing that I'm terrified of. Because over and over and over again this year, that has been a far greater concern in terms of winning this season. It's not an ultimate development thing. People go like, oh, but this isn't a development season, right? And there's zero part of this year that's about development for me. It's about win now, win in this window with these players, with these contracts, et cetera, et cetera. And those two guys, to me, still are one of the biggest problem areas of the entire team when it comes to the playoffs. I'm sorry. It's just that it is what it is.
You don't need to apologize.
No. I mean, like, normally in a given year, those two guys would be an exciting, fun component where I don't really care about what Liljegren looks like overall in terms of his career at this juncture, right? He's been mostly a positive.
And this is why I care about a game like last night where you didn't really have a choice but to play Sandin a lot. And, like, no, he's still getting, you know, preferential minutes. They're trying to protect him, but they didn't really have as much of a choice running five defensemen last night. Like, he had more defensive zone starts than offensive zone starts. So I thought, you know, if we're going to try to evaluate what he looks like in those situations, I thought last night was a decent, not step forward, but just like is a decent data point that maybe between now and the playoffs, he can grow in that a little bit. Because I'm with you. You're not going to, in a playoff series, you're not going to want to trust that pairing for any sort of defensive minutes against other top teams. It's just, you know, we got to take something from the games. And I thought last night he looked all right. Do we want to take a break before we bring in Cabby?
Yes, I think we do it. I think we got four-person wake and rake.
Look, maybe shaking it up can get me off the cold streak here. Maybe adding the Cabby element. We're also going to give away some Zach Brown Band tickets before we bring Cabby in.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. We're going to look at last night's wake and rake. Talk to Cabby about betting on the NFL right now in these playoffs, betting on the NHL with so many heavy favorites. And we're going to set up a four-person wake and rake after the break and after we give away Zach Brown Band tickets. All that's next. The Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
everybody. It's time to give away some country tickets. Who wants to go? I can't do it. Who wants to go see Zach Brown Band this summer? We're giving away tickets right now. Everybody, listen up to their Out in the Middle tour all week long. But we got tickets today and tomorrow. So if you want to go to the Friday, June 3rd show at Budweiser Stage, be caller 5 right now at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 or star 590. And you'll be going to see Zach Brown Band in the middle of summer on Bud Stage right now. So caller number 5, get on your phone, dial in, go see Zach Brown Band, have the time of your life, have a nice cold beer on a Friday night. Thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanking the listeners for giving them tickets.
Oh, I sure am. Boy.
Also, we got to talk. We got to talk about you calling June 3rd the middle of summer.
Eh, whatever. I'm optimistic. Okay, any heat right now, I would be happy. It is just cold and miserable out. And speaking about cold and miserable, our buddy Blake is cold on a cold streak with his wake and rake. But let's bring in Cabby.
I thought you were going to say Cabby's cold and miserable.
No,
I
know you're cold Calgary, and miserable on your batting streak. So let's bring Cabby.
We're going to shake up the vibes here. And
yeah,
see
hopefully
if
he can. Hopefully
see if
he
Cabby
can bring
get me
us
off
some
my
good
cold
stuff.
Streak here. It's SportsNet's executive producer of betting, Cabby Richards. Cabby, what's up, man?
I'm all right. So a couple things. Ailish, June 3rd, middle of the summer, that's so cynical.
You know what? I'm trying to be optimistic.
The beginning of summer.
Okay, I just want it anytime, quick, soon. I guess, yeah. It should be the start of summer. Yeah, we want a nice lengthy one.
Yes, we do. We want it those 10 p.m. sunsets or 11 p.m. sunsets where you're just like, oh, you're on a patio and you're having a few adult beverages. Oh, I can't wait. This will just be miserable. But how are you guys?
We're pretty good. The show, this segment, the Wake and Rake segment, I think we're back over 66% after last night with our best bets, or we're just under. What are we, Blake? What's the update?
63.6%.
So sorry. It's
nice.
Yeah, we're 63.6%. But, you know, Blake has been red hot all year, but lately he has the yips. He can't get one. He can't buy one. He went 10 for 10 last night in the NBA. 10 for 10.
Amazing. And just straight up.
Against the spread.
Against the spread.
Oh, against the spread? Okay, nice.
10 of 10.
Awesome.
I know. An incredible night for him. And yet his best bet that he offered us was a hockey bet that lost. And it was a conservative hockey bet. We have a rule in our Wake and Rake, Cabby, where you got to pick something for your best bet that is a better value than minus 200. And he picked like a heavy hockey favorite that just snuck under the wire. I think it was minus 190 something.
Was it the Avalanche? No, Boston won that last year, right?
Yeah, I think it was the Washington Capitals to beat the San Jose Sharks. And it didn't go his way. You know, took it every which way. Just a pain. I guess, you know, like we said, we're trying to switch up the vibe for Blake. Do you have any advice for the guy that right now has the yips who just can't buy one?
Oh, wow. I don't, because I've been experiencing the yips as well. The only thing I would say is that, when there's a hot hand, you got to ride the hot hand. So, in hockey, Chris Kreider has just been on a tear. It's either every game or every other game. In the last, I want to say, 6 to 8, he scored a goal. I don't know if you guys get into prop bets in this particular story.
Okay.
I would just say ride the hot hand. But you got to find whoever's, performing, really well at the time. Braun was scoring over 30, so he was hitting his over points props for, I don't know, since he was – turned into pissed off LeBron James. So what was that, 5-6 games? I would ride that one. But I last week in the NFL, it was a bloodbath for my checking account because I did not have 3 or 4 road dogs winning straight up. I wish I was from the future and I could come back to last week and make a ton of money. But I know I'm not the only one that was absolutely decimated by the results of, and even the KC game, even though KC covered, that was still a sweat. 13 seconds left in the game. Oh man, it was incredible theater. But Blake, I'm like you right now. I've got the yips too.
So, Cabby, you didn't even need to be from the future to get that. Like, I've been setting up all season. This has been, like, the season of the short road dog. They came through at almost a 67% cover rate during the regular season. And then, historically, short road dogs in the playoffs win outright almost 80% of the time if they cover. So we were on that a little bit. But this is the issue with me having the yips right now, is it's not the yips overall. I'm still doing fine. I had a perfect NBA night last night. I had an okay football weekend. It's just the one thing that I picked for the Wake and Rake has been a disaster. I started off 21-2, and now I'm 1-4 in my last five.
We're gonna try to get it, bro. I need to wake up earlier just to hear this, because it's 6:30 where I am, and it's I need to invest more time in you, Blake. You are absolutely the star right now on that squad. How are Ailish and JD doing?
They're doing well too.
Give us some respect.
Yeah,
some love.
I'm asking.
63.6% as a team. So. Not too bad at all there. But yeah, I wouldn't tail me right now. That's for sure. Cabby, you mentioned, go ahead, JD.
Well, I was just going to say, Cabby, you don't have to wake up. We have a podcast. Like, this gets podcasted. Like, I don't want you waking up at 6:30 every morning. Just like, I got to get this. And then forgetting what the bets are. Like, you can just get the podcast. We put it every hour, Wake and Rake, 63% right now. Yes, it has been very, very hot. I would just like to make a suggestion to both of you when it comes to the yips is like, I have JD's gambling tenants, right? That we always know. And this is just another spot where you get back to basics. You stop overthinking it. Blake's picks in this segment, he's been going to college basketball and the NHL. And it's like, that's not who you are, man. That's not who you are. You're an NBA guy. And you're trying to fade your NBA picks. And it's like, that's Yips 101, as you start doing things differently. And so, Cabby, I don't know what it is with you, but that's it. It's like, you go back to basics. So it sounds like to me that you are an NBA props guy, that you like overs. Or you like props on goals and you like totals to go over on props. So what do you do to get out of the yips? You focus in and you pick your favorite bet of the night. That is the thing you do best. And you just keep rolling the dice and you will break the slump. Like, there's a reason why we're all gamblers. And it's like, that's the reason. That's the thing that you fell in love with. Get back to basics. Just back to basics, baby.
Why are you trying to put Blake in a box? You don't put baby in the corner.
What's going on
over there? Yeah. No, you don't put baby in the corner. Baby's going to come out swinging. And then if he comes out swinging, Dave's going to connect with your jaw. You got to be careful there, bro.
No. There'll be no jaw jacking here, man. We'll be all right.
Cabby, you're just trying to create conflict after I came after Aaron Rodgers. Like, this is what the truth is.
Listen. You are, like, if I didn't know you, I would have stopped watching the video. When you said he was overrated...
The most overrated.
Like,
the most.
That was the hottest take you fired off this year. And we're January the 27th. And hopefully that's the hottest take. Because you're a foul. Like, come on. Like,
Gabby, where did I tell the lie? We talk about this guy like he's Tiger Woods, right? The Tiger effect, where it's like we're there on Sunday and there's somebody ahead of Tiger Woods and, you can't leave too much clock on for Aaron Rodgers and, the Niners, he's going to make
Tom
them regret.
They don't say that about Aaron Rodgers. They say that about Tom Brady.
They always say that about Aaron Rodgers. It's too much time left on the clock for Aaron Rodgers. And it's like, dude, he's gone 0-4 against the team that he's supposed to haunt. And he's got one Super Bowl where he beat Caleb Haney to get there. And then this is the other part. And this is the didn't make the video when I made this case.
That's a flawed argument. Because first of all, football is the most of the team games. And you're talking about Caleb Haney. They had home field. They were in the NFC Championship game. So you can't just discount the Chicago defense because they had some no-name quarterback. They were in the NFC Championship. They were hosting an NFC Championship game. Did you have that same smoke for Peyton Manning when he beat Rex Grossman in the Super Bowl? So do you discount that?
Yes.
What was that smoke?
It's there. It was there. But that's the point, is Peyton got that his entire career. Peyton's entire career, it was, hey, this guy's a choker. Hey, this guy's a choker. At least he was losing to Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady was collecting those Super Bowls. The greatest coach of all time was collecting those Super Bowls. The AFC was absolutely stacked. The NFC has basically sucked the entire time that Rodgers has been his QB. Like, let me ask you this question. Who has been Aaron Rodgers' greatest interconference rival in terms of the best quarterback that has been across from Aaron Rodgers during his tenure with the Packers? Like Jay Cutler? Like Kirk Cousins? Who's been the best quarterback that he's had in his division? Matt Stafford with the lonely Lions? No, his greatest rival, you know who was from an offense? Adrian Peterson, a running back. Like, that's it. He's had a wide open division for his entire career. He racks up these...
Tell me the lie, Cammy. Because you know that Rodgers doesn't play against the other quarterback.
Yeah.
He plays against defenses, and the greatest defense of the 21st century was the Legion of Boom. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe you're forgetting the Legion of Boom that had a 5-year run, which should have 2 Super Bowls to its credit. And his greatest offensive rival is Russell Wilson in the NFC. And you somehow forgot about Russell Wilson when you're trying to give that comfort Aaron Rodgers' head. You also forgot that Colin Kaepernick had arguably the greatest single playoff performance in the history of the sport at that position. That guy had like 200 passing yards and close to 200 rushing yards. The year they went to the Super Bowl, and he was one throw away from becoming a Super Bowl champion when Beyonce shut the city down in New Orleans for 30 minutes after her performance. The Michael Crabtree throw, like, if Crabtree catches that, we speak about Colin Kaepernick differently. But you forgot, you're discounting like the very Legion of Boom that one of Tom Brady's rings was gifted to, because, you know, Wilson obviously throws that kick at the goal line. Like, you're forgetting all of that stuff. And I know you're mentioning, you know, the 49ers, and you have like their 0-4 against the 49ers. But like a hallmark of those 49ers teams is great defense. And yeah, it wasn't a sexy matchup like Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning is still on the Mount Rushmore of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And he's on the same Mount Rushmore as Aaron Rodgers, and the same Mount Rushmore as Tom Brady, and the same Mount Rushmore of Joe Montana. You can't name a quarterback as far as skills, IQ, and arm talent accuracy that's better than Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yes, Patrick Mahomes.
In his career.
Like I just did. Like Patrick Mahomes, 100%.
How many MVPs does Patrick Mahomes have?
But what are we talking about? MVPs? This is exactly why I think that he's overrated, is because it's like, okay, great. He racked up some individual awards.
But how many MVPs? But yeah, you're singling out the individual player.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is overrated. So a measure of his greatness is, if you want to have a nuanced conversation, which I believe, I'm not sure that you do, how many MVPs does Patrick Mahomes have?
But Patrick Mahomes is going to end up with infinity more MVPs than Aaron Rodgers is going to in his career. It's like,
Patrick Mahomes going to win it this year?
Patrick Mahomes is not going to win it this year, but Aaron Rodgers shouldn't win it this year either. It should be Cooper Kupp. It should be Cooper Kupp. All right, let's get back into bets. We agree to disagree. I just think that Aaron is not a top four guy, and that give me Mahomes, give me Josh Allen right now. Over, I think that if you're a quarterback,
you're
gotta
wilding,
win,
bro.
You
like,
gotta win.
Josh Allen may never win an MVP. Yeah. Like, he might never, and you don't know how many Patrick Mahomes is gonna, like, that guy like fractured his kneecap like 2 years ago. Like, anything like that happens again, like, it could be, and I'm not putting this juju in the universe, but his career could be a lot different. And Rodgers has had sustained excellence his entire career, other than the season where he broke his collarbone. Go ahead.
All right, Cabby. Cabby, you and JD, we got to do this in another segment, because we got to give the people at least a little bit of picks. I think you guys should spin this off into like a YouTube or Instagram thing to really hash out.
Like, he's already been buried. I already put him in the ground 6 feet deep.
we got to look ahead to this NFL weekend, and this has been one of the toughest NFL seasons in recent memory to bet on. There's a minimized home field effect statistically, historically short playoff lines. We're looking ahead to two games this weekend. Do you have an early feel on either of them, Cabby?
I lean, and I'm a chalk eating weasel here because I'm leaning on the favorites. I lean Rams. I think the line still 3.5, which is a very tricky number. Is it still 3.5, -3.5 this morning?
Last I saw it, yeah.
And then I lean KC as JD was attempting to sing the praises of Patrick Mahomes, which he's an undeniable talent. Like, I lean Chiefs at home. This guy's been there 4 AFC championships in a row, and nobody's faster than Tyreek Hill. Nobody's more dependable right now than, the only person as dependable as Travis Kelce right now is Cooper Kupp, as JD had mentioned. So I lean Rams and Chiefs. I lean Rams because they pushed all their chips in the middle of the table, like when they acquired Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. And like Odell, they're playing, I don't know, they have a home game, and then the Super Bowl would also be a home game, like Tampa Bay had a home game last year to win their Super Bowl. So that defense is pretty legit. I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. He's good for like one or two interceptions a game, or like one like what are you doing moment, and then Mahomes is just, even if they're down 4 touchdowns, like that could change. Remember that Houston game against Deshaun Watson in like, I don't know, was it 18 or 19? They were down, was it 24 or 28 nothing in the first quarter or the second quarter? And then they won like 42-28. Like it's just gross how much talent that kid has and how high powered that offense is. Where do you guys lean?
Yeah, we gotta set those up a little bit tomorrow, and we've talked a little bit throughout the week. I don't mean to not answer the question, but we're gonna spin it.
I'm still pondering.
We're gonna spin it off NFL and on to tonight. So, Cabby, what we do in this segment every day is the three of us will make our best bet of the night. If we have a guest on in the segment, we get them to chip one in as well. You start to see the disadvantages of the 8:30 slot for this segment already, because things like player props aren't up, and there's a lot of questionable tags in the injury report, but we persevere. So, Ailish, you've been the hottest this week, so let's start with you. What's your wake and rake selection for this evening?
Yes, okay. I feel very confident about this one. Popped out of bed, thought, boom, going to smash this one. So, last night, the Flames won 6-0. The night before, they won 7-1. The night before, it was a 5-3 game. The night before, they won 5-1. So, Blues, Flames, over 6 goals. I cannot think that is even a second guess for me. I'm going to smash that over 6 goals. Just them alone, they've been scoring over 6 goals. And the Blues are a talented team. They got some firepower up front. Kyrou has been like hot as hell. So that's it for me. Over 6 on the Flames Blues. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a good one. And the Flames, that 7-1 game was in the last meeting between these two teams. So
yes.
You get a little bit of that. You also have Calgary, even though like there's always this effect that I have to try to adjust for coming from an NBA lens, is that Calgary's on a back-to-back and they won a blowout last night, but you don't get to just like rest your starters like you do in basketball when you're blowing a team out. So potentially some fatigue there on Calgary's side, and Dan Vladar between the pipes. So I like that one. JD, what do you got for us tonight?
Okay, so again, gambling tenants, right? Like gambling tenants, things that I do, things that I just love, bets that I always love. Short soccer favorites. Short soccer favorites. Always a go-to.
You go Mexico?
Mexico. -103 right now. All you got to do is beat Jamaica. Jamaica has been giving up goals like crazy so far in the CONCACAF qualifiers. I just think Mexico can get home 2 of these, and I don't know if Jamaica's going to end up scoring 2. And like, I've actually been following this tournament pretty closely just because of how Canada has been. And some of Jamaica's goals have been spectacular in this tournament. Like, they've scored. I just trust Mexico to take care of business here. Rested, good formation. I just like Mexico here. So, -103, I'm just going to take them to win outright. Maybe a 2-1 game, something like that. If you like the over, this is a good over game probably for CONCACAFs as well. But, yeah, I'm just going to go with a JD gambling tenant, and that is short soccer favorites in big spots. So Mexico.
I like it.
Yeah, and the over-under in that one is at 2.5, but you're getting plus 140 if you hit the over. So, or, I mean, you could keep an eye out for that to drop to 2.0 even. Obviously, it doesn't qualify for Waken rate because the odds are too long, but if you wanted to go Mexico draw a double chance, you can get that at minus 700. Canada's an interesting one, too. Obviously, a little shorthanded and on the road, but they're plus 103 to win, and they're minus 476 double chance. So that's an interesting one, too. Cabby, hopefully we're not putting you on the spot. Hopefully I gave you enough time here going to Ailish and JD first. But do you have a best bet for tonight?
Well, you can pick the weekend, too. You can pick the weekend, too, Cabby.
I'll stay with tonight's slate. And I do like my player props for the three major sports that are going on right now. I like those. Well, soccer plays sound pretty tasty, but I'm going to go, like, the Lakers are in Philadelphia tonight, and Joel Embiid has, like, re-entered into the MVP discussion with his recent play. So whatever his point total is, it could be 28.5, 29.5. I'm gonna hammer that over.
It's 33.5.
What is it, 33.5?
33.5.
Ooh. Okay, wow,
That's a lot.
That's pretty spicy. That is a lot. That's like a Steph Curry versus Sacramento Kings player prop, or OKC Thunder 33.5.
I have the stats in front of me, Cabby, and the Lakers have been prone to some big nights, but they haven't necessarily been to bigs. Karl-Anthony Towns had 29 against him. Bam had 28. Jeremy Grant is more of a forward. He had 36. But otherwise, it's been mostly wings that do the damage to them. There hasn't been a ton of, other than Towns, who again at 29 and 28, it hasn't been the big men that have been really hurting them. That one outburst from Jakob Poeltl aside. So that's a tough one. 33.5 is high. And it's also, if you wanted to try to add the points and rebounds game, or rebounds and assists rather, then you're looking up to 49.5. So it's a long one there.
It's a tall hill to climb. You know what? I'm gonna go with it anyway. It's like, who's going to stop Joel Embiid? This guy loves going to the free throw line, tries to get there 10, 12, 14 times a night, or 5, 6, 7 times a night. And he's amazing at drawing fouls. And just like that, who on defense is going to guard Embiid? Like, it's not going to be Anthony Davis. He's on a sort of an unofficial minutes restriction as he works himself back into shape, and he doesn't really guard Embiid anyway. So that's 33.5 does give me pause, but I'll probably convince myself to hammer it when we get closer to tip off.
You know what I like about this one, though, too, is, just keep hammering the tenants, but this is Joel Embiid. You said it. He's in the MVP conversation right now, big time. It's swinging towards him in terms of even being the favorite right now, I would say. And if he goes out and he smashes the Lakers on a night where they're the feature piece of the NBA, he goes and puts up, 35, 36 plus, that's going to create an entire, week of spin-off conversations about how Embiid is the MVP, and podcasts about MVP, segments about Joel Embiid MVP. This is a big spot for him, and he's a guy that's very aware of that stuff. I kind of like Joel tonight. Blake, let's get you out of the streak. Let's get you out of the yips. What's your pick?
Yeah, I know you want me to stay NBA because that's my wheelhouse. There's only two NBA games tonight. There are enough questionable tags on both of them, and just like the Lakers and Warriors have both been weird teams against the spread. Yeah. I'm going to stay away. I'm going with the Florida Panthers against Vegas. Florida's won 11 of their last 13. Vegas in a bit of a skid here. Pacioretty and Martinez both questionable for tonight, and the reporting seemed to lean toward probably not. I'm going with the Florida Panthers. That one's on there at minus 165. Projects closer to like a minus 200 if Max Pack doesn't play. So a little bit of extra value there on the favorite side. And again, similar to the idea last night, I need a win, so I don't mind.
Oh, I think we're losing Blake.
Let's take a break.
Blake, we're losing you there, buddy.
We lost Blake. He's got a little bit of a tough connection there.
He's got the yips.
Yeah, it's like his internet connection got the yips. Hey, Cabby, here's what we can, call like a truce. We can call a truce on this. We're both going to be, I think, betting on that Embiid over prop tonight.
All right, let's go.
That's
let's go.
Let's get it, JoJo.
Let's go.
Let's both agree on that.
Guys, I know that I have had a cold week, but you don't need to cut my mic off. what the heck's going on here? All right, I'm back, but we're going to take a break. So you're awake and rake tonight. Embiid over 33.5 points. Mexico in the soccer, St. Louis and Calgary Flames over 6, and the Florida Panthers to win. Cabby, thanks so much for taking the time this morning, man. Other than you and JD having this big beef now, this was wonderful.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, and I look forward to sparring with JD another time down the road.
All right, that's Cabby Richards, executive producer of Sportsnet Betting. Go give him a look. Follow SN Bets on all your socials. We're going to take a break. You go lock that wake and rake in. Make sure you get your golf picks in early, Ailish and JD. Take the break time here because those guys start teeing off around 9:10 today.